One. Happy New Year again. Today is the first Sunday of 2010, isn't it? Yeah. May I ask, what was your last year all about? Was it filled with joy and peace, or anxiety and stress? How are you going to do this new year? Are you going to be as busy as before? Or are you going to plan to make a better use of your time? Are you going to give up some bad habits, or to develop good new ones, or to change your lifestyle? Do you have an inner desire for a new direction in your life? Do you secretly struggle in your personal daily walk with the Lord and sense there is a need for a change? Are you here today to search for an inner peace and joy that God promises those who walk with Him? And yet, your life is filled with bitterness, struggles, and sin. Which is true? Which is true to you and to me, of course? This morning, in this new year of 2010, let us look at a few basic steps to a new direction for our lives. I'm talking about personal lives. There is a passage in the scripture that I believe can be of help to you and to me as we look forward to the rest of 2010. And this passage is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. And here it is up there on the screen. Shall we read together? 1, 2, 3. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Before we move on, would you please join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you so much that we are able now to gather together here to worship you, to praise you, and to listen to your words. May your Holy Spirit dwelling in us help us to be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Help us to understand what you are going to say to us. Help us to understand what your real will is, so that we can make most of every opportunity to practice your words in our daily lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So the first step I would like to share with you to a new direction of life is to consider that our time on this earth is limited. Our time is limited. The first part of verse 15 says, be very careful how we live. Why is it we must be very careful how we live? I suppose because our time on this earth is limited. Our God, our eternal creator, made time and placed man into it, given each of us 24 hours in each day. And in this coming year, each of us is given a possible 365 days. Or 8,760 hours to live and to use. How will you live with the time? The Lord tells us to be very, very careful. If we examine our life carefully, we will quickly see how fast time goes by. Our life had a distinct beginning and a distinct physical ending. Our time is actually limited. Time is the most valuable commodity we have, and we must be very careful on what we do with it. Psalm 19 verse 10 does say, "The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away." Time marches on. It can never be slowed or stopped by you and by me. It is out of our control. Who decides how you and I spend our time? Who decides? You do, and I do. Time is the most precious of possessions, and no one can take it from you. It is unstealable. No one can steal it from you. No one receives either more or less than you receive. Moreover, you cannot draw on its future. It is impossible to get into debt with time. We can't borrow time. You cannot waste tomorrow. It is kept for you. You cannot waste the next hour. It is kept for you. You have to live on this 24 hours of daily time given to you by God. We shall never have any more time, nor less. We have, and we have always had, all the time there is, because time is limited. Be very careful in your use of it. And now, I realize that for some of your young guys, 70 or 80 years of age sounds like a long, long time to go. In fact, I can remember when I thought anyone over 40 or 50 was too far away, too remote. But time flies, and no longer it's all rather relative. So time is limited. Next step. We use our time wisely. The last part of verse 15 emphasizes we need to use our time, not as unwise, but as wise. So in the new year of 2010, we need wisdom to use our time. The foundation to wisdom is the fear of God. Proverbs 1 verse 7 does confirm, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." We need wisdom to choose and to use correctly the time God has given to each of us. God says, "Living as wise and not as a fool." We are not going to act like the fools who despise wisdom and discipline, aren't we? Where does wisdom come from? It is from God, obviously. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." So utilize time wisely. God gives us wisdom for living, and that includes knowledge and understanding. And yet, it can be rejected by people. It can be rejected by people. Proverbs 1 verses 29 to 31 says, "Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruits of their schemes." Psalm 90, verse 12 or so. Ask God to teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That is to say, the everyday choices we make hinge on our dependence upon the Lord, not on our own strengths and efforts. So use time wisely. And the third step, prioritize time, every opportunity. Prioritize time. Prioritize every opportunity. In verse 16, Paul said we must make the most of every opportunity. His reason is because the days are evil. Indeed, the days of this modern world are evil. Things are getting worse. People are no longer trustworthy. They are no longer trustworthy. They fight each other in wars. There are threats of nuclear, biological, chemical weapons. There are terrorisms, deadly disease, natural disasters, drugs, abortions, gay marriages, financial crisis. These are a few examples of evil and wickedness. Jesus said, Satan is a robber and a thief. And one of the things Satan tries to rob from us is our time, because time is a very precious possession. Just think of the time wasted in sinning. Think of the time wasted in bars, drinking, in the gambling casinos, or in shallow affairs. Think of the time wasted in gossiping, or spreading rumors. Or think about all the time wasted worrying about the consequences of sins we have committed. Satan is a thief and a robber. But on the other hand, we often complicated our lives with things, producing more choices, producing more stress. We tend to keep making wrong choices, and never realizing it until life is over. I don't know whether you are in that position or not. We tend to overload with all sorts of things. They can rob us of our joy. We are overloaded with commitments to go here and there, to take part in activities, to that and that social function. Often we are so busy running and fulfilling our commitments, while they slowly rob us of precious time. We are also overloaded with possessions to acquire more and more, newer and better things. Our clothes are full. Our garages are overflowing. And now we are afraid that someone will come and steal them. Some of the people I know, yes, they've got lots of things. They are quite afraid that someone might one day come and took some of them away. There is also an information overload. Television programs, redundant news programs, internet super information highway, Facebook, Amazon, computer video games, DVDs, movies, etc. The problem is that we can't possibly absorb all of them. Well, I can go on and on and on, but you get the picture. There are also many demands on our time. So many good things that need to be done. But there are just 8,760 hours in this year. And we have already used some of them. We have already used some of them. How many hours? 58 hours we have used. Because today is the third. So we have, and now is, nearly 11 hours. So we have already spent 59 hours. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." As life is made up of choices, our heart determines them to make the most of every opportunity. So we need to prioritize each opportunity. Since you are now here in this church this morning, I assume that you intend to seek God, or that you believe God should be part of your life. Am I right? But when you begin to consider priorities, you have to decide just where God stands in your life. So ask yourself, who or what is most important in my life? Ask yourself this question. Who or what is most important in my life? Is that your relationship with God through Jesus Christ is most important? Is it? If so, then put that at the top of your list of priority. And say, this will affect my decisions, my schedule, my relationship with others, and my whole outlook on life. So when Sunday comes, nothing will interfere with my being in church, because God comes first in my life. I will worship the Lord without fail. Next, schedule some definite time each day to pray and to read His Word. You will be blessed as you grow in your faith and trust in the Lord. What else? Spend time with your family. Every couple, husband and wife, ought to have a date night, wherever it will be. Spend time with your children as well. Make sure that your family is very high on the list. Next step is to understand and do the Lord's will. Verse 17, Paul continues to say, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So what do you think God's will is for you in this year? Do you think He wants your mind so saturated with worries and anxieties that you can't think spiritual thoughts? Do you think He wants your calendar so clouded that you don't have time for the important things? What do you think God's will is for you this year? Paul actually had given us his answer from verses 18 to 21. Because of time, I'm not going to read them up. You can read them by yourself later. But primarily, his answer comes from the understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 19, "If you knew me, you would know my Father as well." And in John 14 verse 6 to 7, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you don't know him and have seen him." Jesus' mission from heaven to earth is to show the love of God the Father for every human being, for everyone here, and all the others in this world. Jesus has demonstrated God's love by His birth, His ministries, His death on the cross, His resurrection and ascension. So what is God's primary will for you and for me, for every human being? It is His salvation plan to love and to save every sinner through Jesus' sacrificial death. So friends, if you are here today seeking to know Jesus Christ, I'm sure it is God's will for you to consider receiving Christ as your Savior and Lord. I'm sure that's God's will. But are you willing to do so right now? To receive Christ as your Savior and Lord? If you do, please come and see me, Roger, or some of the elders after the service, so that we can pray with you together to let God know your decision. It is a very important decision you have made for your whole life. Please do come. Okay, let us move on. Next slide, please. In John 15, verses 9 to 10, Jesus told us, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in His love." So brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are saved sinners here today, what do you think God's will for you? What do you think God's will is for you? Is it not what Jesus has commanded you in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Is it not what He has ordered you in verse 39? To love your neighbor as yourself. Next slide, please. What about Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Brothers and sisters, are you going to live out your understanding of God's will into daily actions in the year of 2010? Romans 13, verses 11 to 12 reminds us, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearer over. The day is almost here." So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Be guided by Christ's Holy Spirit. Strive for a spiritual emphasis in your life, including my life, of course. To conclude today's sermon, I'm going to refer to a story in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. The story there tells us that Jesus went to the home of Mary, mother, and Lazarus. He sat down to teach, and Mary was sitting at His feet, just soaking in every word. Meanwhile, mother was out in the kitchen preparing dinner. And mother was upset because Mary was not helping her in the kitchen. So she complained to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me, please." Jesus answered her, "Mother, mother, you are worried and upset about many things, but only thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So was mother committing a sin by fixing a meal in the kitchen? Was she? No, of course not. But here is the problem. She was so preoccupied with what she was doing that she didn't realize that God was in her living room. God was next to her. She was unable to prioritize which should come first, and therefore miss out the variable time and opportunity. That is the same mistake that you and I may make every day. We get so caught up in the here and there, now and then, like mother did, and that we fail to deal with the eternal things that will last forever and ever. We fail to follow God's will. We forget to obey Christ's great commandments and great commission. So please ask yourself if such is true to you. We need to learn from Mary to put God first wherever and wherever possible. Now let us have a moment of silence and each of us pray to God privately, telling Him your responses to His word today, as well as your list of priority in this new year for a new direction in your life. Let us bow down and pray quietly.